Welcome to the Back in the Day podcast with the Metro Archives. I'd like to thank everyone for listening today. I'm Sarah Arntz, and I have my colleague, Darnitha Myers, a.k.a. Dagenham, with me today. And we are interviewing the man, the myth, the legend, and the creator of this podcast, the Metro Archivist, Ken Feith. This week, that is the week of Thanksgiving in the year of our Lord, 2024, is Ken's last as the Metro Archivist. We congratulate him as he heads into retirement, a milestone he has certainly earned. He has been at the helm of the Metro Archives for the past 31 years, growing the division of the library into a well-oiled machine with an ever-growing digitization program, audiovisual collection, great customer service rating, if we say so ourselves, and wonderful staff of well-trained archivists. Not to throw shade at the former staff members of Archives Past, but because of the wonderful staff that have carried the archives through the past 30-plus years of its existence, primarily with Ken at the top, we are where we are today. So that being said, let's learn about Ken. So let's start with, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you grew up in Middle Tennessee and what inspired you to pursue a history-related career.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the two of you, and Darnitha and Sarah, for having this and doing this. Let's see. I grew up, you know, I grew up in Nashville. I was born at Vanderbilt, and then just lived here in Nashville. What was the second part?
It was, I guess, just growing up in Middle Tennessee, and then what inspired you to become or to pursue a history-related career.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I grew up here, but my mother's family was from Cannon County, Woodbury. And so in the summers, we would go up there and spend some time. And I got around some of the farms up there. And my mother was a huge history buff. She was history and politics were her thing.
New boy.
And so, yeah. And so growing up, I got a healthy dose of that. And, you know, everybody I knew at that time had been in World War II. So everybody talked to me about the stories. My next door neighbor was in it. I mean, it was sort of an amazing time. But so with all of that together, I just developed a love of history, you know, and I still love it. I'm still very passionate about it.
Mm-hmm. And it's military history, or what else are you passionate about?
Well, I like military history. I've studied that a lot, and like World War II especially. But, yeah, just about anything I find interesting. You know, there's so much out there that you can learn. It's just incredible,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
and now with cell phones, you've got most of the world's knowledge in your pocket, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's
right.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, except for what we house in our archives.
Well, we're not going to share that.
No, not at all. So did you dream of being an archivist at a young age?
Not really. First off, I wanted to be an astronaut, and then they told me that you ain't got the math for it. So, okay, I'm still bitter about that.
I would be,
too. Yeah, so later on, I got interested in history, and when I was in college, I thought, well, maybe I wanted a history degree, but I wasn't sure what I was going to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking about perhaps teaching or something like that, being a history mm-hmm. field in some way. And then along came this program at Middle Tennessee, the Center for Historic Preservation. And at that time, I was really into buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took that as my master's to see how, you know, how to preserve buildings, how to protect buildings, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The built environment. So I didn't really think about archives at that time.
Mm. It is sort of a career kind of like mine did that you just sort of fall into, I guess.
Well, you know, I really did. I was graduated college, and at that time, history jobs were scarce. I mean, mm-hmm. if you got a master's in history, you can probably paint houses or be a checkout person, you know. So this job came up at the State Library and Archives, and I'd never really been in there. And I saw it came up. Somebody told me about it. So I went and applied, and I got the position. And so there I began to learn about archives, how important they are, the things, the legacy they have behind them. And it was really a great learning experience, really was.
Hmm. What was your first job? What was the job title at TSLA?
TSLA, I was an archival assistant 3, I think. And basically my job there was to do reference and work the microfilm room, help people with, back then it was still genealogy on film.
Mm-hmm.
So just help people with their genealogy and do the basic, sort of an entry-level thing mm-hmm. as an archivist, you know.
Hmm. Did you have any cool jobs growing up before you, I guess, went to college or even during college?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know if you'd call it a cool job, but it was kind of cool. I worked at Sears for a while and down on Lafayette, and I sold batteries and tires.
Hmm.
And so that was kind of interesting, you know. And they had a room, probably about 10 by 20 maybe. You could take bring your battery in and have it charged up. Well, they had like shelves with metal straps going down through them. And they would put all the batteries in there, and you could recharge 50 at once.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Well, yeah, you walk in there. There's no fan. So you walk in there, and it's like being a sulfuric cloud, you know, because it smells, ooh, boy, did it smell. And so I generally held my breath, you know.
You can only do that for so long.
Yeah, yeah, I was doing that. And I enjoyed selling the tires and be around the mechanics out there. And mm-hmm. when I was little, my dad would take me to NES. And so I learned services. Yeah, I was just around a lot of mechanical stuff, you know.
Nice. Any good other stories to share from those times?
Well, let's see. Well, I did get to meet Skull Schumann. He came in one mm-hmm. day and wanted to buy a battery. And he had this car, this maybe a Chevrolet, something like, big four-door, you know, mm-hmm. 60s looking. And he had bumper stickers all over it. It was completely covered in bumper stickers.
The whole car?
The entire car.
Oh, my God.
I mean, except for lights and turns, you know. I mean, he had the whole car, you know. And that one was pretty interesting. And then we had a guy that he brought in his Mercedes. And the guy selling the batteries, you know, the battery has to fit the car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the battery was too tall. So he puts it in there. And when he lowers the hood, boom.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it blew paint off the top of that car. You know, oh, man. You know, everybody was mad. I thought it was funny, but everybody else was mad, you know. So I kind of went in the restroom and laughed a lot. Yeah, it was great. God. And, well, one other thing, I don't know if it's interesting or not, but this guy came in with a big Cadillac, and he had his sugar baby with him.
Oh, boy.
You know, and she was quite a bit younger, and he was buying tires for his car, you know, and he wanted the top of the line. This is going to be expensive. That's all right. You know, whatever I need to do for her, I can do. And I thought, okay. So that was one thing.
Wow, a Cadillac.
Yeah, nice. Oh, big one. You know, back then they were huge. You know.
Nice. Well, one of your other jobs, I've always been kind of curious about this, is your farm in Woodbury kind of job. Is a job. How'd you come about the farm? Did you inherit it?
Sort of. I did in a way. I've always liked that farm up there. And my cousin, Newbern, he owned it. And we shared a sort of a love of the land and mm-hmm. horses. He got me into horses. And so when he was killed, he was on the tractor, and he either had a heart attack or something went wrong, but he fell off the tractor and it ran over him.
Oh,
so that was that, you know. And so I wound up with the farm, and it's 150 acres, and we've got about eight horses on it. Three of the horses are show. We can show them.
Mm.
They're bloodlined and all that. They're Tennessee. I got Tennessee Walkers.
Mm.
You know, and you get one that's really well trained and has a good bloodline, and it's like sitting there. It's like driving a car. They're just as smooth as they can be.
Mm. Oh my goodness!
Didn't you just recently show your horses?
Yeah, we used to show. I did. We used to show them in the smaller horse shows. We never did anything at Celebration. But in the smaller shows, I would show some of my horses. And, yeah, I've done that recently. Sure have.
Wow.
Do you have any other animals besides horses on the farm?
No. Well, I've got my dog, Sonia, who's a big German Shepherd. And she's convinced she's a lap dog.
Absolutely.
And, but I've got her, and that's about it, really. We don't have any other animals up there. We have walk-ons, you know. We mm-hmm. see armadillos up there and stuff like that, you know, coyotes, you know.
Oh, goodness. Nice. Well, moving on then to your job at TSLA, which was, you know, previous to Metro Archives. What was your first job there?
Well, I was, you know, I was an entry-level archival assistant. So basically the thing there was to, we had a microfilm room, and it had all the county microfilm in there for Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so people would come in and they want to look at a particular county or something. I would pull the court record or the wills or whatever they needed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do that. And then in the reference room across from that was where all the manuscripts and historical documents were. And I went over there and I would pull stuff for people and,
mm-hmm.
you know, watch over the collection over there.
Gotcha.
And we were the odd thing about back then is we were closed a half day, open a half day on Saturday. So people would come in on Saturday, and we had to rotate those Saturdays, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday, we closed. We were closed to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for us to get everything back in its box and on the shelf and do a general cleanup of everything, you know.
Oh, wow.
Because people would pull stuff all week long, and you'd mm-hmm. leave it there on your desk or you know, mm-hmm. something. So it worked out pretty good, though.
Nice. I just realized we did already ask you that question, but the point I was getting to is the other day at your gathering for your retirement party was Vince McGrath kind of talked a little bit about the shenanigans you guys got into up there. So, any PG stories you can tell us?
Yeah, well, I'll leave out the felonies, but other than that,
oh come on.
Well, you know, it's being recorded, right?
Right.
So yeah, you know, Vince. Vince is a great friend. I've mm-hmm. known him. Ever since I've been working, and he is a great friend, and he was up there, and Vince would enjoy stuff, but you know, he'd keep quiet about it, so he was good to have around, you know. We at that time we were open 12 hours a day.
Oh,
and yeah, it was a 12-hour work day. Ooh. And 4 days
hospital.
A week, but you know, it was a tough one. Mm-hmm. And they would rotate it around, and so this is Capitol Hill, right? And the mid-1980s. You know. So after about five, nobody came up there ever, you know. So it was like, well, we can work on a collection or something, you know. But it was dead quiet in there. And somebody came up, they found a collection that had these polka records in it.
Oh, boy.
So we got the polka records out, and we had a polka night. And we moved all the chairs in the big lobby out there, and it was great, man. You could dance the polka. Vince was the best. He was the best polka dancer we had.
Wow.
Yeah, if you ever need one, he's the guy.
Good to know.
And then some of the other stuff we did, we'd have, at that time, the stack area. The archivists and the librarians went up there to pull stuff, but the managers never did. They stayed in their offices mostly. So we had a party on the second floor for a employee that was leaving.
Mm.
And we would go down, we'd take turns going down and walking through the reference area down there, so they would see somebody down there, and we had a great party. And, it was quiet up there because of all the paper around it, you know? And so we had a great party. We had people show up. We had a cake and typical things you would have for a birthday party, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Goodness. He alluded to parties or things you guys did on the roof. Now is that the felony stories?
Well, we used to go out on a roof, which was a blast, you know, and the door opened into that. But, yeah, we went on a roof, and a bunch of the styrofoam, they had a bunch of styrofoam as part of the roof, and they were throwing that off. So I got a bunch of that to take home, and I put it in my doghouse for a while. It was great insulation. Yeah, I know, courtesy of the state of Tennessee.
Hey, waste not, want not.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Off the roof. I can't. I'll have to have more context because there were so many things we did there, and it was a great place to work. It really was.
No, it was the location that's next to the Capitol, right? That's
yeah,
the one you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, that's the old Library and Archives building, and it was built as a memorial to World War II, and so it was a great old building. You know,
nice.
So it was.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, is that where your fallout shelter sign comes from?
No, that comes from the Metro Courthouse.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that comes from Metro Court. We didn't have much, our fallout stuff was more documentary, you know.
Oh.
We didn't have a whole lot of artifacts up there at all.
Mm.
I know one day, well, we had a bronze bust of John Trotwood Moore. And whoever built it, he looked just like Lennon. And he was sitting up there, and I got, you know, hey, he looks like Lennon, doesn't he? And so I brought in a Soviet hat and put on him.
Mm-hmm.
I had to climb up the wall and stick it on there. And I figured nobody would notice it, you know. Well, about 3 days later, the hat came off. So I took the hat down, and that was that for my little Soviet adventure. But, yeah, it was a great place. It sure was.
How long did you work at TSLA?
I was there 10
years.
10 years. 83 to 93.
Hmm. And did your jobs then change throughout that time?
Oh, yeah. I went up the ranks for archivist, archival assistant, 1, 2, 3, and archivist 1, 2, 3. So I was at Archivist 3 when I left. You know, somewhat like I do now, I had a staff of 10,
mm-hmm.
and so I managed them at that time.
Oh,
nice.
Very good. So I guess the amount of time then you've been in Nashville, Middle Tennessee, whatnot, you've seen Nashville grow as, you know, over the years. Is there anything you miss, I guess, from the old Nashville, as people like to call it?
Yeah, some things I do miss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were a town for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and we're still a town trying to be Atlanta, but we're working toward it. And back then, though, you could go anywhere. You had plenty of access to people, and there was a lot of businesses downtown. Over in the down lower Broadway, you could buy plumbing down there. You could buy all kinds of stuff. There was a building down there that they sold cloth for sewing, and so there was a ton of that in there,
mm-hmm.
and there was a furniture store. So a lot of things downtown were kind of fun to do. You know, we had Christmas parades and all that sort of thing, you know, and that part I sort of miss about Nashville,
because mm-hmm.
it had more of a hometown feel, and we have more of a city feel now. So that's the part I enjoyed, and you could actually drive somewhere in a reasonable amount of time, and yeah, it was a lot of fun back then.
Nice.
That's how I felt about Nashville when I first moved here. Mm-hmm. Like, it had a small town feel, but it was still considered like a big city.
Yeah.
So it had a city feel, but that nice down-home town feel, too.
Mm-hmm.
It did. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny how in the government part, they were all related somehow. You could go over and talk to one, and he would have a cousin somewhere that you could go to. You know? So that's pretty much gone now.
Sometimes, I mean, I don't know, there's still kind of a small town feel to it at heart. Sometimes I find, like, mm-hmm. running into people around town that you realize, oh, you went to high school with their cousin or something like mm-hmm. that. I think as much as some of the unicorns, as I guess they call us that grew up here, have sort of moved out, you still find a few of us every now and then and mm-hmm. can kind of relate. So that being said, what do you like about the new Nashville?
Not traffic.
No, traffic is really interesting. I guess we have more things to do now, and we have more places to eat and more variety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got one thing I was really impressed with is the symphony. We actually have one now that's pretty mm-hmm. nice. It's excellent. And then the TPAC with all the shows there.
Mm-hmm.
And down Broadway, downtown Nashville, it's changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has really risen up a lot. And so
mm-hmm.
that's kind of nice, too. I don't go down to Broadway much, but it, you know, it's a city in a way.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I'm going to say the one thing I don't know if this is necessarily all over the board true about new Nashville, but I do kind of like how with the changes that are coming with Nashville, depending on what it is, some places are trying to stay true to the historical heart, I guess, of what they're doing. Like, for example, the patron request we get sometimes for photos for, say, like an interior design place. They mm-hmm. want photos of what it was before so they can stay true to what it was before and still kind of carry that narrative into the future. So if that continued with the amount of change that happens here, I think, you know, the story will go into the future.
Well, you know, I guess that's one of the things I do love about mm-hmm. Nashville. It's beginning to realize that a lot of our buildings, a lot of our homes, mm-hmm. that we have a cultural legacy here, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, an historic legacy, and stop tearing down
mm-hmm.
the old buildings, you know.
I mean, yeah.
So a lot of these things, some of them need to come down, but a lot of them could be renovated and reused. And I'm glad to see Nashville finally looking at that.
Yeah.
You know, our historical commission, and the historical board. And people are taking more of an interest now in their home and what was there before. It's kind of fascinating to me that we, over the years, we have moved from basic genealogy over to land records.
You know? Right.
And I guess, you know, all the big ones out there, Ancestry, Family Search, people are doing a lot of that now. And what we're getting is land. You know, we get a lot of land now.
I think almost seemed like that started with Drew when he was here before. That was something big that he started. So, but
He sort of started that. We have those collections back there, MDHA, and several others. You know, so he's got into the what was here before as far as housing and all that.
Yeah. Well, let's see. You said so. As in 1993. You applied for the Metro Archivist position, and clearly you got it because you're sitting with us today. What inspired you to apply for that position? Did you just hate your job at TSLA that much?
Actually, you know, I love that job. It was like a private club down there.
Oh, nice.
And I really enjoyed it. And we, I talked to, as people would go up the chain there, and they were really good about from hiring from within if you're qualified. And so I was going up the chain. I was an archivist three. Well, that's the top of that. So I was looking at being a manager, you know, of one of the services, probably technical services. That's where all our archives were. And so I went to talk to one of the directors. He was a sort of a mentor in a way. And I was talking to him about the possibilities of jobs. And he said, well, Ken, you've topped out. You'll never be a manager here.
Wow.
And so I thought, and he said, no, you won't be a manager here. And so I thought, well, okay. And then I found out that there was an ad. I was over at my father-in-law's, and I was looking through the newspaper, of all things, and there was this tiny little ad down there about archivist, you know. And so I saw that, and it was with Metro. And so I came up here and applied, and the old best, at that time we were in the Ben West building. The old library, and I was in there and talked to them, and I got the job. And apparently, I don't know, they said there were other candidates, but I guess I made an impression because they hired me. I don't know.
Absolutely, you did. So when you came on board, the Metro Archives was just the one building, correct?
Yeah, it's just one building. We were in over on Elm Hill Pike. They had renovated the old Mount Zeno School for the police department, juvenile. Well, it moved, and so they gave the building to archives. So I wasn't present for it, but all the archives material they had over at the Stallman building, they brought it to Metro Archives. And it opened in 1986. And basically then it had the overflow from various departments and agencies within Metro. But we needed to build that up, you know. It's not storage, you know, it's archive. And so I had to work on that some. But that's where we were. That's where we started in that building. And the later on, the Metro Clerk built the building next to us. It's more like a warehouse building and for their storage. And the Record Center was there for a while. Well, when the Record Center moved, the clerk gave us that building. And so we were able to expand into that building. And bring more stuff in.
And that's the building we're in now.
Yes, that's the building we're in. That's one we're in now.
Yep. And I guess for our listeners' context, we are now spread between three buildings, right?
Yes. We have, of course, Main, which is our public presence. And then we have ML Pike, which is our storage. And then we have the Record Center, which stores records for the whole of metropolitan government. And we have a section in there of our stuff.
Nice.
So we've got three different locations. It's true.
What is the story, too, that you talk about with pulling records out of the, like, an elevator shaft at the courthouse or?
Yeah, they were renovating the court. This is one of the earlier renovations of the courthouse. And they were renovating it. And I got a call one day to come over that there was something on the elevator. I thought, well, I don't know anything about elevators. So I went over there, and there were books stacked in the shaft up there. And it had damaged or bent something in there. And so we got to pulling the books out, you know, and they fixed the elevator. But, yeah, there were all sorts of minute books and deed books in there. that was the seventh floor of the courthouse, and they used it for storage. And so in the process of renovating all of that, I got to look at the courthouse and take what we wanted for archives. And I got really excited because it was a jail. So there was a jail cell there, completely full of poll tax books.
Oh.
I thought, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to have women in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pulled them out and started looking at them. Every single one of those things was blank.
Oh. I hate when that happens when I'm doing research on things. I open a book and it's nothing.
And there's nothing in there.
I know. You know, you open a present and it's sunglasses.
Yeah. So, socks.
You know, I mean, yeah, it was just kind of disappointing. But there were some there that were very good. We picked up some minute books and some other things in there that were very good to have. And then we began to get a presence within Metro by helping and going over there and helping them and getting stuff out of there. You know, the last renovation they did, I went over. That's when I got the fallout shelter sign.
Oh.
Because the last one they had, we went over and got what we could.
Mm.
And we also stored all the plaques in the courthouse, the plaques and one of the ceiling lights. We stored those for a while for general services, and they came back and picked them up and put them back in the courthouse.
You know? Interesting thing to store.
yeah, really cool. And that ceiling light was really cool. I wish they had forgotten about that.
I know, right?
Yeah, no, it was really cool.
Did you, when you first started at Metro, were you the only employee for archives, or did you have employees?
I did have employees. I had two. It was me and two others, and I had two volunteers.
Okay.
So, yeah, they were there, and they were there.
And so then now we're at, was it five?
Five. We have five now.
And then Carissa's, that's a part-time position, or is that separate?
Which one?
Carissa.
Oh, Carissa. Yeah, she's contracted, but she's under us, so
okay.
Technically that's five.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Nelson at the State Library and Archives, she did a lot of presentations on training, you know, employee training and all sorts of things that we see now in Metro. And she had done a lot on management. And so I told her I was coming to Metro Archives, and she said, how many do you manage now? And I said, there's eight. She said, how many are you going to? And I said, two. She said, you're going in the right direction. And I learned that was so true.
Also, there was something else I was thinking of when you were telling that story, too, about the courthouse. Didn't you once told me a story about something to do with a rat being in between books?
Yeah, as we were pulling books out of there, and we got down to one book that had a flat rat in it.
Oh.
And I think, you know, I don't know how the flat rat got in there, but I think the books fell on him, and there's like 200, 300 pounds of books in there. So the books fell on him, and he flattened him out in there. And when we were pulling out the books, well, there he was, this little preserved rat, you know, and almost like a mummy in a way. And so I got the rat out and left it, you know. Maybe
not archival.
No, rats, flat rats really aren't. You know?
No,
and so we got the rat out, and the piece in the book where this was impressed, we still have that. It was pressed down in the book. I don't know if they were chewing on the book when everything fell. I don't know, but there's a hole in it. You know?
So, is that the book that me and Kelly saw when we were at ML Pike during the closure? Like you opened a book and it was like all eaten in a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's a deep book.
It.
I think it's not a deep book. I forgot what it was, but yeah. It's all flat now.
Poor Ratatouille.
Yeah, I know. The poor rat, you know.
Well, that's what you get for rummaging through archives.
Well, you got to be careful about it.
You know, wrong place, wrong time. Oh,
look above you when you're doing this kind of thing.
See, I'm trying to think of any other weird animals I've ever found in our archives. Just sizable spiders. Anything else weird that you've ever come across?
No, spiders seem to top the list.
Mm-hmm.
We had all that negative microfilm in there, so we couldn't use any kind of sprays, you know, pesticides, anything like that. So we couldn't use that in there. So, yeah, we got spiders and things. And one time I brought a gecko over there and dropped it in the hallway, and it took off. And we didn't have any spiders for like 2 months. I don't know if the gecko died or what happened to the gecko, but
it's an organic way of taking care of the spiders.
Oh yeah, well, you know, they're sort of a natural. So they would run around in there, and I told the guy, I want the meanest, nastiest gecko you got, one that nobody will ever buy.
Yeah.
And he had one. And so I dropped it in the floor, and it ran a little way down the floor, and it turned around. I've got the right one, you know. And so he went around in there and ate spiders, and you know, I mean, yeah, it really worked out fairly well. We didn't see any spiders up in the reference area for quite a long time.
Mm, that's the way to do it.
Yeah,
nice.
Well, oh my goodness!
And now he sells insurance.
he's moved on. You know. He's sort of moved up.
We can come over to my house any day and eat my spiders if he wants to.
Yeah, he can stay on my front porch.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I guess with your time with the Metro Archives, do you have any favorite projects or anything kind of that you're proud of doing? And I know there's quite a long list, so.
Well, really, what I'm proud of is what the Archives has become.
Mm.
You know, it went from that one-room schoolhouse into a real functioning, real Archives. And I'm proud of that. And we were the first Archives to do scanning, so the digital world in the state. And so in the digital world, we started it.
Nice.
And we had that going for a while. And then I'm real proud of that. We had a microfilming program for a short while. I bought the cameras, got the equipment, got it in there, and we made microfilm for a while, and we would send it to the state to have it developed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had that, and then when the digital world came along, all that kind of died, you know. So that did. Let's see. I guess some of the other things is how we made friends or acquaintances with all these different departments, and they know we're here now, so we're kind of up on the radar. Before, you know, it was nothing to do with that. So it was. I'm glad that it got started and moved up the way it did. You know. And I guess, yeah.
Nice.
That's it.
Was the records, the records center records division, was that in existence before the Archives or was it after?
I'm not really sure. I think they were sort of concurrent. I think the record center building was built probably, 85, 86, not really sure, but that building was built, and then they hired a records manager, and a lot of the overflow went there. We've had a functioning public records commission since the 1960s.
Oh, okay.
And they're the ultimate voice on what can be destroyed. So they were instrumental in building a lot of the RDAs, how records are going to live, and they go to the records center. And so they kind of got that going. And the metro clerk was big in doing that. You know, she realized what we had and what was going on, and we would be the perfect place for it.
Nice. Were you the Metro Archivist when the mayor, that I won't say his name, was looking at closing the Archives, or was that before your time?
That was before me, but I always worried about it. That was always in the back of my mind later on, you know, that the Metro attorney at that time had decided that Archives wasn't relevant to the program, and we were just going to be abolished. Could be abolished, let's say it could be. And so that was during Virginia Lyle, my predecessor. And so she called some of the clerks and said, you know, they're thinking about abolishing this. All your records are going to have to come back. And they were like, what? Well, we have 500 boxes. Good luck.
Oh, gosh.
You know, so that got stopped. But that was always in the back of my head. One time I was called downtown. We were working at Elm Hill, and I was called downtown. Didn't really say what they wanted me for. So, okay. I'm already heightened on my radar, you know. And I get down there, and there's my director and our assistant director of finance. And they're two sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, this is it. I started thinking in my head about a resume.
And oh, gosh.
What am I going to do next? And as it turned out, when I sat down, one of our volunteers had hacked into the system from our computers out there. And so it hacked into the library system. So this person had to go, you know. And so she left, and they patched up the holes. And so, but it was the strangest meeting because I thought, surely, oh, well, you know, I can sack groceries. You know? And so, but it turned out, and as it went, I told my the library director later on, I told her how concerned I was about that. And she said, this administration will never get rid of an archives. Mm. So that made me feel a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
Goodness. What in the world would she be hacking into in the library?
Right.
Like, we're public record.
Well, I think she was, at that time, I think she had hacked into our library cards and stuff like that.
Oh,
she had hacked into the other systems besides our book thing. And she'd hacked into all of that, and a different little person, and so she had to go, you know, so she was terminated. Yeah.
Yikes. Okay, then.
That's crazy.
Well, do you have any other good stories you can share? I know one of my favorites that I shared the other day at the party is when I interviewed for this program coordinator position. It was a Zoom interview. It was you and Luke, and I forget who else was on it, but somehow or another you had enabled the fake eyebrows, and they were every time you moved your head, they would sit there and dance, and I was just like, what is happening? But it was good, because I was, even though I shouldn't have been, I was a little nervous, so it was like, I was just staring at the eyebrows, being like, should I tell him? No, I'm not going to tell him.
Well, I wondered when we asked you questions, you had an odd reaction on your face, but, yeah, we and I hold that against the other two managers for not telling me
they
this.
They should have told you. Yes.
I mean, they let me ride through the whole interview with my eyebrows dancing. So, you know, and I've learned how to turn that off, by the way.
Oh, good, good, good. I mean, I think it's hilarious. It'd be better you could be a cat like that one guy.
Well, yeah. Right. Like his cat. Yeah, I know. Which would be kind of cool, you know. If you don't want them, you could probably do that, really throw them off.
It would be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But. Any other, I mean, it's 30 years. You got any other good stories you can share?
Yeah. When we were at, we moved to Green Hills. Mm-hmm. So we had Green Hills and Elm Hill Pike. So our public presence was in Green Hills. And we were there. And one time there was a Mazda RX-7 sitting out there. And that thing was totaled. I mean, the whole front of that car was torn up. And so my wife had an XR-7. I'm thinking, wonder if he'd want to sell that for scrap, and I could do stuff to my wife's car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a friend of mine find his address, and I called him, and I said, hey, you know, this car out here that's totaled, I was thinking if you had an idea on a salvage price, that we could talk about it. And there was this long pause. He goes, my car? I said, yeah, it's your car. It's my car. I said, yeah, it's your car. And apparently his girlfriend had been driving it, and she had this accident, and she didn't tell him.
Oh, he didn't know.
He didn't know. He didn't know. And the conversation kind of went downhill, but, he was not happy when we hung up the phone. He was a different person.
That's at the end of it, you're like, you want to sell it?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you ready to sell it?
Be like, let's circle back around.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had a guy call us one day from I think it was a phone booth because I hear traffic in the back. But he called, and yes, it's the archives. Well, I need to know if I'm still wanted. You stay right there, and I'll look.
Oh, my God.
We had a guy come in that he was using the public computers, and he came over to the desk and said that the Chinese were watching it.
Oh, boy.
I said, no. He said, need to turn that off. So I don't know how to do that. It would be our IT people could come and help you and see if there is anything on the computer that is dangerous. And so he said, well, I'm going to talk to them personally. I said, okay. So who is the head of it? And I said, Y Men? And he had this weird look on his face. Well, who's the second in command? I said, Chin Lee? And he got mad and left, so I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
The Chinese were watching his computer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they are.
My goodness. Well, what are your favorite items in our collection?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's hard to say because we've got so much. The manuscripts, I like them for the personal thing they can give to the city and how you can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the documents. I like, if you give a presentation, I kind of like to have some things in there that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, history is not dull. It it can be funny without the intent to be funny. And that's what I find funny.
Yeah.
And so I like, there's a letter in there about a man buying a horse down in Franklin and bought a saddle. Bought a saddle. And there's a letter back to the seller that says, you know, I was intoxicated beyond measure. And I'm not sure if I bought the saddle or not, but if I bought the saddle, I need to give it back because, you know, I don't have a horse. And so that was great. That was great. And I don't know if he ever got his money back or not. I don't know.
That is good.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
And then, of course, the World War II correspondence. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my favorites is that tavern license.
Mm.
It was one of the first taverns in Nashville. And you go read it down. It's a government form, right? And in the middle of it, it says that you're not allowed to serve. You're not allowed to serve alcohol. Let's see what it thinks. You're not to allow people to drink any more than is necessary on Sunday.
Oh my!
Well, I have had some really necessary days.
I was going to say, who defines necessary?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, it's permissive legislation. You know.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. What's your favorite artifact? Because we do have quite a few artifacts.
We do have some artifacts. I guess there's a wall clock up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Harold Shire. He was a jeweler here. And, you know, there was a thing in the floor or the entrance to his shop. If Harold says it's so, it's so. He made it, put it into the tile.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So that was pretty cool. And I like that a lot. We had it hanging on the wall for a while, and people would come in and reminisce about the jewelry store.
Oh,
so
nice.
That was pretty cool. So I like that. Some of the fire stuff we have, that's interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
We have a token container from one of the buses for the Nashville Bus Company.
Mm-hmm. You
know? So we have that. So there's some pretty cool artifacts in there.
I was going to say, I don't think I've seen that one.
I haven't either. I was just wondering. I'm like, what is that?
We'll get that out for you. And there's this thing up there that is a hand massager.
Oh, yeah.
And it's built in the 50s, so the thing on top of it is like 10 pounds. And you put it on and plug it into the wall, and it massages your hand, you know, which, well, that's why it's here. It didn't work.
Oh, so, I think I've played around with that thing before. I'm like, how much radiation is in this thing?
I know. Well, I know, you do wonder sometimes.
I mean, you have to be careful. Some of the stuff we uncover in collections, you have to wonder about what era is this from?
Right.
What's living on it?
Yeah, well, we when they closed General Hospital, we were allowed to go over and get whatever we needed for the archives. So I got some furniture out of there and stuff that we need, a table, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And up in one of the rooms, there was these big pieces of lead. I mean, it's like 2 feet square and about an inch thick. I thought, this would be an interesting artifact for General Hospital, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing there looking at it, and one of the people there that are helping us, he said, "You don't want that." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, that's where the radiation dead ended when they made X-rays." I'm like, "Oh, well, we passed over that one."
No,
rightfully so. Didn't we used to have an incubator from General Hospital?
Yeah, we sure did. It was. I went through there and I found one of the old baby incubators, and it was a big box. You know, had a glass in the top of it, and it, all these controls to adjust it. And it was for, you know, I guess preemies, something like that. But yeah, that was a cool artifact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also like the Latvian booze up there, the mayoral gift.
Yeah, I hadn't figured that one out yet, and apparently Mayor Bredesen just let it go. You know, but yeah, it's got an interesting story to it, but I don't think, I didn't know if you could find it here, you know.
I haven't looked. I'm kind of curious. Like, I'm like, what would it taste like? It's either going to be good or, it's a day of necessity.
Well, that's the thing right there. You know, what would be the flavor, the taste, and stuff like that?
So, yeah. If I ever find out, I'll let you know.
Please, That'd be kind of cool.
One of my other favorite artifacts that lives outside your desk or your office is the criminal division sign. Sometimes people come in that get... First, they get confused by the fallout shelter sign.
Yes, they do.
They're like, is this a fallout shelter? Like, well, the third floor surrounded by glass. No. But criminal division. I think I had a patron one time that saw that and got a little terrified. Like, what is that?
Do you have any warrants out on you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yes. It's the fun part about our group. I like how sometimes we'll turn a lot of our artifacts and whatnot into a nice joke or whatever.
Yeah, we have a great team. Mm-hmm. I like to bring stuff in. Sometimes it's kind of funny. And mm-hmm. they were renovating the courthouse, and a sign was laying there. I thought, you know, this would be kind of cool. So mm-hmm. I went over there, and, well, what am I going to do with it? So I set it on the ledge in front of the office there, you know. So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah.
That and the fallout shelter sign.
Love that sign.
That's, cool that's the best one.
That's yeah,
the best one.
That's a good one.
I do. I can't help but laugh every time people ask that question. It's like, it's
fallout?
Fair.
You're like, no.
My boss just has a really funny sense of humor, that's all.
Right.
Yeah. Well, with all that said, what do you want your legacy to be? I know it's a heavy question.
I thought about that a lot, and I think my legacy is where the archives is now. How it's come from almost nothing up to what it is now. It's got all these programs in it. We've mm-hmm. got scanning. We've got film preservation. We've got mm-hmm. paper conservation. All the things we have and all the things y'all do as far as reference and helping people. That's the thing about history. You got to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's working to do that. And so I think that's the legacy I'd like to leave, that this place was brought up to the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just run on its own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can run. It can mm-hmm. be its own division, you know. So yeah, that's, right. that's what I'm proud of.
Yeah, the well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it sure is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, and now that you've won the gift of retirement, what will you do? Are you going to Disney World?
Take me.
Yeah, Disney World. Well, my granddaughter, I will probably be in tow if we go to Disney World.
Nice.
And since Katie is expecting again, mm-hmm. we'll probably have another trip to Disney World.
Yes.
But Katie, my daughter and I... She loved the Pirates of the Caribbean when mm-hmm. she was young. So our thing, she and I, is to ride the Pirates of the Caribbean ride down.
Oh, nice.
Every time we go, we ride that.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, most of the time, when I get settled in a little bit, probably the farm, because it needs a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
I'm only there on a Saturday. You can't get much done.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I'll probably be up there. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, any last thoughts, questions?
No.
Words
no.
of wisdom?
You know, don't take yourself too seriously,
mm-hmm.
and you can go a long way on that. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, but it's been a great ride. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's been hilarious, and some of it's been really terrible.
Oh yeah.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's been great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place to work. Sure.
Yeah. Well, you've been one of the best bosses I've ever had, definitely. And you've yeah. put me down the path of archives and mm-hmm. that, like I told you before, I'm so grateful for. So thank you.
Yeah. Well,
we mm-hmm. would definitely miss you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Definitely.
For what you do.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a legacy right there.
That's right.
I'm going to say, keep your phone on.
Yes.
Do not block us. Texting.
Yes.
Well, I do have consultant fees. I'll send them in.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. We'll patch those through.
That's right.
To Metro.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening.